Well, today we are returning to our series on the Psalms. Can you believe we've covered 29 Psalms? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've covered 29 Psalms. And today we are at number 30. Now, I started to take this one out of order. I started to move this one to Thanksgiving Sunday because it would just fit a Thanksgiving Sunday theme. I left it right here where it is. The thought is very clearly stated in the final verse of the psalm. It says, O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. You know, having just seen David and the portrayal of David, the way they portrayed him at Sight and Sound, I can just hear him singing that to God. I see it in an entirely different light. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. But there's something very interesting about Psalm 30 that I think should catch our attention. Let me read the first verse and see if you know where I'm going with this. Listen carefully. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Did you catch it? Here's the point. David did not just thank God for what happened. He also thanked God for what did not happen. He said, I exalt you for lifting me up, but I also exalt you that my enemies did not gloat. And that is what I am calling two-sided gratitude. That made me think back over my own life. There have been times in my life when doors have closed that I had wanted open. But later, I discovered that God was protecting me. Has that ever happened to you? I'm just going to give you one example from my life. This happened, it's a short story of a very long story. It happened in the 1980s. The pastor of a very large church in this area wanted me to come be his minister of music. I really wasn't sure I wanted to do it, but eventually I decided I was going to accept, and I accepted the job, and much to my surprise, he called me and he said that his board decided not to hire me. What? After the pursuit? He said, we prayed about it, and we simply felt like God was closing the door. What? I was really disappointed, and I was somewhat embarrassed because I had told a lot of people, you know, I'm going to go pastor in this big church. Well, guess what? During the next year, that pastor was caught in an inappropriate relationship with multiple women in his congregation. He was fired. People started leaving the church in droves. The giving gave up. They almost folded as a church. And had I gone there, I would have been in the middle of that mess, and they probably would have had to fire me as well. God protected me from all that, but I just couldn't see it at the time. And I thanked him for what did not happen. And here's something else about that experience. I realized later, and just 2 years later, that if I had taken that job, I probably would not have been able to start the National Christian Choir in 1984. God had something better in mind for me. And I thank God. God's like that, isn't he? He's like that in our lives. If you think about it, you probably have very similar experiences and testimonies in your own life. Thank God that I did not marry that person. Thank God that I did not make that trip. Thank God that I did not have that surgery. Life presents us with trials, with pains, with disappointments, and frustrations that might actually be God's blessings on us. We just are blind and deaf and dumb, and we can't see it sometimes. We cannot see the whole of life the way God can. That's an awesome statement, isn't it? We cannot see what God can see. We tend to focus only on our current problems. I wasn't going to say this, but it's just hit my mind. Some of you in here are very good at that. I hear it out there in the foyer every week. Problems, problems, problems. In verse 1 of Psalm 30, David thanks God for what did not happen, and I think we should learn from that. Now, in verse 2, David says, "O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me." Now, there is a great example of gratitude for what did happen. God healed him. Has God ever healed you? I suspect many of us can say yes to that question. So we should know how David felt when he wrote those words, when he exalted God for his healing. But here's something to consider. Have you ever had great medical help, and maybe you've had just the right surgery and maybe just the right medications, and you praised only the doctors and failed to praise God in the process? When I think back, I have done that sometimes. Before I became a committed Christian, I am sure that I did that. But even after faith in God became a central part of my life, I am sure that I failed to exalt God for His healing in me through medical science. Have you ever done that? Don't answer me. Have you ever done that? Just think about it, especially as you progress in life. And by the way, we are progressing. David said, "Lord, you healed me." But then notice the end of verse 3. "You spared me from going down into the pit." There it is again. He thanked God for what did not happen. He did not go down into the pit. Why did he say pit? What does the word pit mean? Chris, do you have any idea what the word pit means? It means the grave. Did you? He figured it out. That's why he's an elder. It means going down into the grave. Thank you, God, that I didn't go to the grave. We don't know from what David was healed or how close he came to dying. But there again is an example of two-sided gratitude. He was thankful for his healing, and he was thankful for not dying. Goodness, just think about our own congregation right here. Several of our members have come very close to the pit in the past, and God spared them. I remember a few years ago when we earnestly prayed for you, Steve Bowen. You were deathly ill, and God spared you, and you did not go down to the pit. I remember Ed McGee, we prayed for you during that COVID attack. It was scary. Thank God that you did not go down into the pit. I think about John Sims just a few weeks ago. We were really wondering if we were ever going to see John again on this side of heaven. And God spared him. Thank God that these three men did not go down into their graves yet. Now, what about you? Have you ever thanked God, not just for sparing your life, but for not allowing you to die yet? Sometimes it is what God prevents from happening that is the real blessing. Do you remember a great pastor by the name of Peter Marshall? He was an inspirational Scottish Presbyterian pastor who became the chaplain of the United States Senate in the 1940s. And he served as chaplain there for only 2 years because he died of a heart attack at the early age of 47. His wife, Catherine Marshall, wrote a best-selling book about his life called A Man Called Peter. And she described the positive and the outstanding things that God did through her husband. But she also described some things that God did not allow to happen, or God allowed not to happen for him, for which she also gave thanks. One of them I remember quite vividly because they made a movie of that book, and I remember seeing this in the movie. It had a big impression on me. He was walking home one night, and it was very dark, and he took a shortcut through some unfamiliar territory in Scotland. And while he was doing that, this dense fog came up suddenly, and he couldn't see where he was going. And he was feeling his way through the fog, and he heard a voice that said, "Peter!" And it scared him, and he stopped. And so he took another step. "Peter!" He heard it a second time. And he fell to his knees on the ground in fear. And when he did, he felt the ground. And one step in front of him was a cliff going down into a rock quarry. Had he taken one more step, he would have died. But God miraculously intervened in his life. What a story. What a wonderful story. He had several more similar experiences in his life. For instance, later he missed a plane, and he was so upset until he learned the plane crashed and every person on it died. And God spared his life. I've heard stories like that on the news of that happening to people today. Even though he did die young, he could have died much younger. God protected him through that. And in his short life, he affected many generations to come, partly because of what did not happen. That made it possible for him to continue on in his life. God is really in control. Newsflash, God is really in control of both what happens and what does not happen in our lives. But if we are not careful, we can get so wrapped up in what is happening that we fail to give God for protecting us for what is not happening. Now, for all the reasons that we've just covered, we come to verse 4. And David calls upon us in verse 4 to praise and worship God. I love David. David is my favorite character in the Bible outside of Jesus Christ. That's another reason that I really long for you to see this presentation together. And I especially love these next verses. In fact, I have used these verses countless times, hundreds of times, as I've led choir retreats all around the country. And here's verse 4. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. Oh, I love that verse. As a singer, I really love that verse. And I know that there are other people here today who would agree with me. But if you consider yourself a non-singer, I hope that you will agree with it too. Why? Because basically, there is no such thing as a non-singer. Why? Because God gave the gift of song to birds and to whales and to other animals. And surely he gave the gift of song to each and every human being. There are just people who feel like they can't sing very well. So they shut down and they don't sing. You've heard it. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy names. I believe he's given the gift of song to every human being, and God says, sing, sing. He did not say you have to be a recording artist to sing to him. He just wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear your heart. Furthermore, David calls us God's saints. That is because you are. To be a saint simply means that God chose you. God set you apart for his holiness and to be holy unto him. You're still a sinner, but you've been set apart. And you are in the process of being fully sanctified. Aren't you glad that I'm in the process of being fully sanctified? I ain't there yet. And neither are you. We're on a path. And Chris, you're going to be fully sanctified when you get to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm really picking on you today, aren't I? Yes. We're on a journey, brothers and sisters. We're all saints, and we're going to heaven, and we are going to sing praises to him all the time. All the time, for eternity. So you need to come to choir rehearsal. Every chance you get, you need to sing on this side of heaven and get ready to be a singing saint in the glories of God. In Psalm 30, what are we singing to him about? We're singing to him our thanks for what it says in verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. How long does his anger last? I'll read it again. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. How long does his anger last? How long does his favor last? Don't you just love that? Don't you just love both of those statements? And I love the way that David says the same thing so poetically in the very next sentence. Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Are you listening, Elaine? Rejoicing comes in the morning. What a beautiful picture that is. It reminds me that God truly has the whole world in his hands. I believe that. Do you believe that? David almost repeats himself in verse 11. He said, you turned my wailing into dancing. I don't consider myself a dancer, but I am one because God created me. So I can dance. I just don't think I can. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Don't you just love people who are clothed in joy? That my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh, brothers and sisters, it takes real faith to live in such a way that you can see God's promises for tomorrow when you are enduring your problems today. Can you say amen to that? It takes real faith to rejoice in God and see his promises when you are living through your problems. And of course, many of us face problems every day. Some of them are really heavy. And if they're not, they will be. You can allow yourself to become absolutely overwhelmed by those problems. You can become self-possessed. You can become depressed. You can become run down. You can become sick. And you can be lost in the darkness of a fog as Peter Marshall was next to that cliff in your life. What does God want from you? God's word through David is never stop singing. Hallelujah! I love that. Never stop singing. David was a sinner. Oh, David was a sinner. just like you and I are sinners. Look at his confession in verse 6. Can you identify? He said, "When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm." Right? It's easy to sing about the solid rock when everything's going right. But, David continues, "When you hid your face from me, Lord, I was dismayed." Now, you know I like word studies, biblical word studies. And when I read that word dismayed, I thought it would help me a little bit to dig into the real meaning of that word dismayed. And I discovered two things. In this secular world in which we all live and move and have our being, the word dismayed means that you're upset enough to lose your courage. But in the Bible, the word dismayed means looking around in terror in a state of alarm. You do not want to sing, but you have no choice. You want to move, but you can't. Have you ever felt that way? I suspect you have. When you feel like God has withdrawn from you, when you feel like God is not hearing you, when you think that God does not care for you, it can be terrifying. I don't know how people do it without God, how people do it without Jesus Christ. And when it is terrifying, you can know that you're walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. You can be sure that you are living by sight and not by faith. What did David do when he felt that way? Verse 8. "To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy." Well, that's a biggie. One way to think about that is that mercy is what God does not do to us that we deserve. We deserve judgment, not mercy. We deserve his anger, not his favor. Because of God's mercy, there is no end to the terrible things that never happened to you. Woo! Things that could be a curse on your life if they did happen. Count your many blessings. And count your many non-cursings too. You may never know what they are, but he does. One last illustration. Have you ever heard stories about winners of the lottery who became more miserable after they won the money than they were before? Everything was wonderful when they first got that bankroll of money from that lottery. But some of them could not manage their money. They managed it so poorly that within a few years, they went broke. Some of them were deluged by family members and friends asking them for money. And then they became resentful if they didn't give them money, and it caused broken relationships. Some of them decided to retire too early, and they stopped working, and they discovered that they were aimless, and life seemed meaningless to them, and it led to depression. And tragically, some of them became targets of criminals who tried to break into their homes to try to steal some of that money. It's disrupted their lives. Now, I am not suggesting that you go out and buy a lottery ticket. But if you have, and if you did not win, Perhaps you should thank God that He protected you from all of that. Verse 1 again. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. That is David's song, and that should be our song. Thanksgiving forever, including two-sided gratitude forever. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. We sing that song as if it's syrup on pancakes. But Lord, you are so good. How we thank you. And we again lay our lives at your feet. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.